Just before we left Sunshine last week, I got word that my Uncle Gene had passed away, and I've mentioned him to you before. This is my mother's brother. It looked for a while like he was going to pass away almost immediately after my grandma did a year ago, but then he rallied. He actually got off of hospice for a while, but now he has passed on. And of course, Grandma, if you've been around, my grandma died about a year after my dad died, so my family's had quite a string of deaths here in the last 2 years. We joked this last week that we're starting to get pretty good at putting on funerals, and that's not necessarily something you are happy to have a lot of experience in. No one else in my family is near death, as far as I know, so hopefully this is it for a while, if the Lord is willing. I'm going to use my Uncle Gene's story, and I'm sure he would give me his permission to do this this morning. I'm going to use his story in order to illustrate to you some things that I think are true about God and that are true about how God works in the lives of people in this world who have chosen to follow him. Now, to do this well, you need to get to know my Uncle Gene just a little bit, so a few stories for you. Here's a recent picture of Gene and my Aunt Jill, brother and sister there. The last 6 years of Gene's life were spent in a nursing home. He lived pretty much his entire life with disabilities. When he was just 22 months old, he contracted meningitis, and that did some damage to his brain. Not severe damage. You could carry on a really good conversation with Gene, but he certainly had limitations. It was very hard for him to graduate from high school. It was really hard to find a career that he could do with consistency. It also set him on a lifelong course of many health problems. He had seizures and blackouts. He was never able to drive a car. Now, two things that I have always thought about, at least in my adult life, about my Uncle Gene. One is that he had a positive attitude. That doesn't mean he didn't have his grumpy days and his frustrated days, because he did, like we all do. But I think especially given the challenges that he faced in life, he maintained a pretty positive attitude. And this is what made it nice to visit with Gene. He was pleasant to be around. Second thing that always stuck out to me about my uncle is that he was just fun, kind of related to the earlier point. He was fun. He was always cracking jokes and very easy to kid around with. The nursing home that he lived in did not have any private rooms, so you had to have a roommate. And at one point, a few years back, one of his roommates died, and so he was going to get a new roommate within a week or two. And my uncle, Dennis, one day was talking with Gene, and he gave him a wink, and then he asked Gene if he might like his gal friend, Phoebe, who also lived at the care center, to move into his room with him. And Gene looked at Dennis and said, "Oh, I don't think they're quite ready to go co-ed here yet." So the day before he passed away, so this is last week, my mom and my Aunt Jill were in the hospital room with him and the nurse, and they were going through the long list of ways in which Gene's body was breaking down, and Gene finally said to her, "Well, at least I've got 20/20 vision," and of course he was wearing glasses as he said that. So this is Gene cracking jokes to the end, and the nurse said to him, "Well, what I can see is that you've got a 20/20 sense of humor," and that was about right. That was my uncle. When we were kids, he used to chase us around Grandma's house and with a very loud roar, and believe me, Gene could be very scary. We were loving it and scared out of our wits all at the same time. He had dentures, and he enjoyed entertaining the young children with taking his teeth out and placing them back in. And these things leave a mark on young minds, you know. Gene and I shared a love for science fiction movies, and a few Christmases ago, I gave him probably what is the best Star Trek movie ever made. It was Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan. And he opened the gift, and he started chuckling. I was glad he liked it, but he could just kind of kept on chuckling. Now, it was not terribly unusual for Gene to be laughing and for you not to be quite sure what he was laughing about, but he was really laughing a lot in this case. I didn't know what was going on. About 20 minutes later, I opened my gift from Gene, and it was Star Trek: Wrath of Khan, so we shared similar interests. Gene was protective of his sisters, my mom and my aunts. I mentioned my Uncle Dennis a moment ago. He actually was my Aunt Jill's second husband after her first died. So a few years back when Jill and Dennis were starting to date seriously, Jill took him to visit the nursing home and meet her brother Gene. And Gene was polite at first, but when Jill went out of the room to go get some coffee for them, he looked at Dennis and said, "Now exactly what are your intentions for my sister?" So, okay, so now you got a little of the picture and you know a little bit about who Gene was. For many Christians, Psalm 23 is a favorite passage, right? A lot of us memorized it when we were young. I've really latched on, though I love the entire psalm, I've really latched on to the first sentence and the last sentence in my life. I think I've actually mentioned this to you before. And let me read those two sentences for you. Most of you know them. The first one is, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." That's the first sentence. And then the last one, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I believe these two sentences can be read as promises from God for his people. When you go through the Bible and you're looking for promises that might apply to me or apply to you if you're following God with your life, I think especially that last sentence of Psalm 23 sticks out to me, in my opinion, as one of the most important promises to be found. "Surely goodness and love will follow the Christ follower all the days of their life, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I've made a few edits there, I know, but I believe that this is consistent. I believe it's consistent with the whole teaching of Scripture to look at this sentence as a promise made by God for his followers. When we truly follow God with our lives, we can expect goodness and love to follow us. Now, why would the life of my Uncle Gene bring me to think about that particular promise in Psalm 23? How can I say that that promise applied to him? Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. 22 months after he was born, Gene got that infection, and it left him somewhat disabled for the rest of his life. Couldn't drive a car, couldn't do most jobs. He would fall down somewhat regularly in public places like the grocery store, creating a big scene because of a seizure. So right off the bat, a major serious problem for Gene. And Gene was born to two very dedicated Christ followers who certainly were praying for their baby boy at that point. So how can I say that this biblical promise of goodness and love applied to Gene? Well, first of all, let me say that a good portion of life is a mystery, whether you believe in God or not. Most of us here today believe that much of the mystery has been unveiled to us through Jesus Christ and through the message of the Bible. But still, even for us, much of life remains a mystery. We don't always understand why things happen the way they do. It's not easy to understand. We often mention here at church that even Jesus told us, "You're going to have trouble in this life." So we're promised trouble. How does that square with the other promise of goodness and love? Well, we know what the trouble was in Gene's life, the meningitis and the seizures and the ongoing challenges he faced. Let's take a bigger view of his life, though. Gene gave himself to Jesus at a young age and then was baptized at age 12. My mom says that he had a pretty much a childlike faith, which is appropriate for where meningitis left him. He never really went through that phase of questioning his faith like many of us go through. He just believed in Jesus. You might think that a person with disabilities like Gene might have a hard time finding true friends in life. Well, let me tell you about a man named Ron Skahn. Ron was a friend of Gene's from high school days. They went to the same high school and same church together, and they had fun hanging out together. Ron stayed dedicated to his friend, even as they became adults. Ron got married and had kids, and they would invite my uncle over so many times that Ron's kids started calling him Uncle Gene. So here is a Christian man who took Gene under his wing and was a true friend to him. There's a similar story with a man named John Talbot, another friend from back in high school days at church whose friendship lasted through the years. There were men older than Gene at the church who were very regular in taking him out and visiting with him. And of course, there was Gene's Christ follower family who cared well for him. There were so many fun family gatherings together, the kinds of things that make life rich. And we did all of that with Gene there present. I have so many memories of my dad and Gene teasing each other and having a good time at those get-togethers. Now, when Gene got into his early 20s, he kind of wanted to have a life adventure like many of us do when we get into our early 20s. And he was determined to move away from St. Paul and to move to Boston. He didn't know anybody in Boston, but that's where he wanted to go. And he did it for 2 to 3 years. He went out there and he got a security job and lived on his own. Well, as you can imagine, Gene's mom and dad, my grandma and grandpa, were a little concerned about their son who has disabilities and seizures and all of these things going out to this place on the East Coast that he doesn't know anybody. Well, there ended up being a pastor and wife there at one of our conference churches in Boston who became aware of Gene, and they looked out for him and made sure he was okay. Again, Gene coming under the wings of Christ followers. At one point, back in the Twin Cities now, Gene was in need of a job, and within the membership of his church, the family and he found a Christian businessman who was willing to create a job for Gene, something that he could do, and he ended up being there many years, and it was a really good thing for him. So, a Christian businessman, an owner who cared and who was willing to flex and accommodate a man in Gene's situation in order to help him be provided for. Before his nursing home days, there was a time when he was living in an apartment and he had to leave immediately, and the family was quite worried. Where is he going to find a place to live who would have an opening right away, who would have a first floor apartment because that's what he needs, who could accommodate his special situation and be a good place for him to live? All of these worries are floating around the minds of my family members, and my mom happened to drive at that point over by some apartments she was rarely by, and they looked nice, and they had a vacancy sign out front, so she called. And yes, they had all of the things that Gene needed immediately available, and it turned out to be a much nicer place than the one he had been living in, with people there who were good to him for a number of years. And when Gene's health got worse, and he really needed to be living in a nursing home, there were similar circumstances that occurred along the way that led him to Maplewood Care Center, where he received very good care for the last 6 years of his life. So yes, Gene had meningitis. God did not spare him from that. He had challenges. It was a hard road for him. But again and again, provision was given to Gene in the form of friendships. People who wanted to show Gene love, to hang out with him and help him, provision in terms of good places to live and good jobs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Gene experienced God as a provider, working through his people, working through the church, the people of God. So yes, bad things still happen to people who follow Jesus. This was true for Gene. But do we also see evidence of goodness and love following my Uncle Gene throughout his days after he made Jesus his Lord? Yeah, I'd say we do. There were so many moments of good times and laughter for my uncle. This was a promise fulfilled. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Okay, a couple application points for you today. The first one is obvious, and it is that this is a promise from God for you if you turn your life over to him. There is no promise from God for a trouble-free life. We just heard Jesus saying, you will have trouble. But even in the midst of the trouble, for the Christ follower, goodness and love will follow you if you follow him. That's the first point, plain and simple. Let's move into the second application point. Did you notice how many of the stories of provision in Gene's life had to do with the people of God being faithful to Jesus' command to go and love? There were a couple of those stories of timing where God does something directly, like all of a sudden this perfect apartment there for him just when he needed it. And I wonder if you might have experienced God working in ways like that in your life at times. But most of the stories of provision for Gene came from people in his church behaving like the people of God. People going out of their way to show love to someone who might not be the first person you would think of hanging out with. People like the Christian businessman who created a position for Gene in his business. People like the members of the family of God out in Boston who took notice of Gene and cared for him out there. This was the church being the church. And God fulfilled his promise of goodness and love for Gene through those people. What if the church had not been the church for Gene? What if those people had not acted on the command to love? Could God have found another way to provide Gene with goodness and love? Yeah, I think so. God can do incredible things. But maybe there wouldn't have been as much goodness and love for Gene. I think God has given us a job to do in this world. The church is a light for the world. We have a responsibility to love in these ways and to reach out to those who are struggling. If the church is not being the church, then there certainly will be less light and less goodness and less love in the world. So we have a job to do. We need to be the church and to get out and love people. And that's the second application point for you this morning from the story about my uncle. Are we acting towards those around us like the people of Gene's church acted towards him? We won't do this perfectly. Christ followers are imperfect people, and there's only so much time in busy schedules, but I think the question is, are we trying? So let's go in reverse now. Application point number two is be the church, get out and love people. And that first application point was, if you follow God with your life, you will discover that the Lord will be your shepherd and that goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. It's a promise. And hey, we don't want to forget, there was a second part of that promise in that last sentence in Psalm 23, wasn't there? We don't want to miss that one. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's part of this promise too. The first thought that went through my mind when I heard that Gene had passed away was that Gene was now headed for a resurrected body, a perfected body, one that is not subject to the brokenness of this world like the one that he lived in his entire life, but especially after 22 months. He was released from that. And this, of course, is another of those most central promises in the Bible that come from God, that we, if we follow him and repent of our sins and seek to live for him, he will take us to heaven after we die in a resurrected, perfected body living in the promised land with him. Let the life of my Uncle Gene stand as a testimony today to the validity of the promises from God to his people. And if you'll allow me to throw in a little extra credit application point for you here as we close, we see in Gene's story, I think, that the Christ follower can have reasons to maintain a positive attitude as Gene did, even in the face of difficult circumstances. Because when the Lord is your shepherd, and when you surround yourself with his people, goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. And we see in Gene's story that the Christ follower can have reasons to stay fun and to crack jokes and to make people smile as Gene did, even when times are tough, for we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if you haven't yet, turn your life over to God and then live life to the full and look forward to the goal which my dear uncle has now attained, eternal life with God in heaven, a resurrected body. And let Gene be an example to all of us of how to live life here in this place with a positive attitude and a fun spirit. So thankful to God for his promises to us, the love and the hope that he offers, and I thank him for my Uncle Gene and the times we had together. Amen.